Thank you, Pastor Sam. By the way, if you've come across somebody visiting the United States who doesn't speak English well, have mercy on them. Have you ever tried to speak another language in another country? I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. Carol and I were in Salzburg, Austria one time, and I figured, we were traveling in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. I said, this is a great time to speak German, and it opened some wonderful doors. And I walked into this place where you could go find a place to stay for the night. And I'm doing all this in German, and, I'm feeling really good about this. And the guy says, okay, so what's your name? So I tell him my name, and he said, to spell it. I had not said the alphabet in German since I was 18 years old. So I'm starting, M-R. T. I got to W. I just looked at him blank and I said, oh. He looked at me and he said, would you like me to do it in English for you? Oh, it's an awful, awful feeling. So it's good to have mercy. Thanks for the stories. What a treasure it is for us to be here. Together. This is a gift that God's given to us. I hope you take something away from you with you every time you walk out of this worship time. And now we put our hearts and minds together around scripture and prayer, and we say it. We don't sing it this time. The words are going to be on the screen. It'll be pretty clear. I hope you'll join me as we worship here. And by the way, this is not statues. That's my misspelling. And I was in a hurry, and, my fingers, it hit the T, but it didn't hit it hard enough. This is statutes. Does make a difference. Speaking of English. So all of you people for whom English is not your first language, this is statutes. Your statutes have been like songs to me wherever I have lived as a stranger. Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Purge me from my sin and I shall be pure. Wash me and I shall be clean indeed. God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Before we use this prayer of confession, which is really the gift of the Eastern Orthodox Church to the whole church, this is an appropriate time for us to have a personal time of confession, a time when we can just listen to the Spirit of God within us, to see what troubles our conscience about something we did or didn't do or said or didn't say this last week or this last month, and turn it into a confession. So for a few moments in silence, just between you and your Creator, let's practice the discipline of confession. I'll say amen, and then we can use this prayer in unison. So let's pray together, could we? Amen. All together, ready? Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. The scripture today comes once again from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. This communion meditation brings to an end our journey through Romans 9, 10, and 11. And it's appropriate we should culminate in a celebration of the Lord's Supper. And after we read, I hope you'll leave the text open. We will come back and reflect on one of the verses I'm going to read. Romans chapter 11, verses 30 through 32. Would you all stand together as we read? Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their Jewish disobedience, so those disobedient Jews also have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on us all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Thank you all. Need to introduce you briefly to a gentleman named Dr. Henry Brandt. Dr. Brandt was a Christian psychologist of the previous generation. And I heard him one time tell the story of a trip he made with his wife. They were traveling an interstate highway in Michigan. And as they approached an exit ramp, his wife said to him, "Henry, I think we should get off here." And Henry said, "We don't get off here. Our exit is up ahead." And the mileage sign said, "Ann Arbor, 60 miles. And they drove on. And as they approached the next exit ramp, his wife said, "Henry, I think we need to get off here and ask somebody for directions." Henry said, "I don't need directions. We're almost there." And the mileage sign said, "Ann Arbor, 52 miles, and they drove on. When they drove past the third exit, Henry said, as he told the story, "I knew I didn't know where I was going, but I didn't want to admit it." And the mileage sign said, "Ann Arbor, 47 miles. Now, you know, ain't freedom good? Yes, it is. But if your freedom is taking you to Ann Arbor, where you don't want to go, instead of East Lansing, where you do want to go, it's not a good thing. Freedom of choice always needs help in choosing wisely. And Henry Brandt had lots of help. He had inside help. He himself said, "I didn't know where I was going." He had external help. Twice his wife said, "I think we should get off the interstate here." And those mileage signs in their cold and unsympathetic way kept telling him, "You are going to Ann Arbor where you don't want to go, and you are leaving East Lansing behind where you do want to go." And every time he refused help, repeatedly, Why? I didn't want to admit I didn't know where I was going. I wonder if that's why he didn't take advantage of the best help he could have had that day. He left directions at home. I wonder if he did that because he didn't want to admit he didn't know where he was going. I mean, does a person's obstinate heart go that far? Well, you know that there was really only one course of action that made any sense for Dr. Brandt. And that was to turn the car around and go back. And he was still going to ask somebody for directions. Sometime the only way forward is to go back. The first truth in bringing us back to God is to admit that we don't want to admit we need direction for our life's journey. We refuse God, we drift away from God, we forget God. The Apostle Paul put it better than anybody in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He said, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks, but their thinking became futile and their silly hearts were darkened. That's an awful place to be. And so what we find ourselves in situations like that is God is going to let us keep our freedom. I mean, God always offers people help. He never stops doing that. But he always lets us drive the car. And if we refuse his help, he doesn't snatch the wheel. He says, I made you free, and free you shall be. But if your freedom is taking you to Ann Arbor and the wedding is in East Lansing, it's not a good thing. And this permission slip to do anything we want to get away with has consequences far more serious than missing a wedding. And those consequences are writ large across television, the internet, and even our own lives. We see those consequences in people's lives around us where we see envy, murder, deceit, malice, things that are unspeakable. This is a good place to look once again at Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. The first half of the verse, God has bound everyone over to disobedience. I don't know if you're familiar with this called the Message. It's a paraphrase of the Bible in extremely readable English by Eugene Peterson. And I wanted you to hear how he paraphrased the first half of Romans 11, 32. He said, in one way or another, God makes sure that we all experience what it means to be outside. You know, when your marriage goes sideways or your sexual desires start to master you, or you lie, or you betray somebody, or you start to feel terribly guilty, or you discover a surprising desire in yourself for God, then you really start to feel outside looking in. And like Henry Brandt, you may not want to admit it. Now, the only thing Henry Brandt could do was turn that car around and go back the other direction. Sometimes the only way to go back is to go forward, is to turn around and go back. That's where the other half of verse 32 is so important. It tells us why we can go back to God. God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. And here's how Peterson paraphrased that. In one way or another, God makes sure that we all experience what it means to be outside so that he can personally open the door and welcome us back in. That's why this congregation is onto something so good. Do you understand? There's a time when you and I came to the realization that our life was missing something. We admitted that we needed God's direction for our lives. And the proper name for turning around and going back to God is repentance. And the shock of repentance is coming to understand that God is merciful. I think so many people have such bad feelings about themselves and about God that it is an explosion of freedom to realize that when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. That's why Brandywine Valley Baptist Church and hundreds of thousands of other congregations worldwide matter so much. You understand, we didn't finally get good enough to get in here. We finally realized we were headed in the wrong direction and we turned around in order to go forward. We went back to God. We confess Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. We meet together like this because we want to be around other people where this new life is in their hearts. And we want to help each other stay close to Christ and learn from him the guidance he offers for our life's journey. Now we learn very slowly to follow his guidance for our life's journey. And we know that as we learn to do it, it's going to put us at odds with some of the ways of the world, but we don't want to be separated from God ever again. And we know how easily we could fall into disobedience in a heartbeat. As the old hymn puts it, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we don't want ever to be separated from God again. We are God's elect who carry forward his purpose to extend mercy among all the nations of the world. The face of the church needs to be the face of God turned toward man in mercy. I hope every one of you has joined us on this journey back to God. If you haven't done so, why don't you join us today? Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Be baptized. Join this congregation. Let's build something here that will be a blessing to the people in the Brandywine Valley. And you can grow here at your own pace, and you will grow here. And now, before us the table is spread. Here awaits the wine, here awaits the bread, here where our souls are fed. And our souls are fed here because the bread and the wine give us something to hold and taste that are material reminders to us that God is merciful. Now, you may not be a member or even a regular attender at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. You might be a brand new visitor. But if you have confessed publicly Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, we want you to eat and drink with us. We are brothers and sisters in the faith. And if you haven't, don't leave this room without confessing Christ and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But otherwise, come and eat and drink and be at peace. Our brother Lanny Weaver is going to give thanks for the bread, and then we'll distribute the bread and we'll all eat together. Lanny.